This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and you're listening to Bears Hour Live, which is intended for all audiences.
Trubisky, big rush, throws to the end zone for Deion Sims. He's got it for a touchdown.
Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live.
Bears Hour Live.
Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
Coming hard every Monday night, Central 10 East. Spilling out prescriptions for the Bears fan with a Bear disease.
Jumping in the chat room with the bar fries bringing knowledge. This show's an honest course if Bears football was a college.
This girl's a moderator, Dr. Phil is the host. Throwing dimes through the window from the open to the close. Talking live on the air, best known for my devotion. First name Phil, my last Atoshin.
Ask for Phil on Twitter, bringing truth, hold in touch.
I'm riding foreign country, singing Oh Canada.
BHL, floor on top, like saliva does backwash. I take this back to high school to take a football back course.
Guests on the show, speak the serum of the truth. 365, Bears talk in the bar. Analyzing every one of Mitchell 77. Drop.
No doubt how it's elite, cause we never flip-flop.
Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Hill and Bears Draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and this draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight
Trubisky
hour of
again.
Bears
talk. And this time Shaheen's got it for a touchdown.
Breaking down the film, not a problem, get it straight. Other blogs focus on stats, we focus on the tape. Bears down or up, BG's maple syrup. Bears Barroom Worldwide, you never know who'll show up. Marvel flipping pages, it's the Barroom's making shows. Sometimes we get the man without his head and penny hose.
Cool HR. The show's about the start.
And while you're at it, stick that barroom sticker on your car. Monday through Friday, the barroom's got you covered. Play a chill, place a tag, cause Fuller's got you smothered.
Draft Dr. Phil,
it's always hit sticks. Splitting double teams like 96 Akeem Hicks.
Now alive.
Keeps growing, Mitchell keeps throwing. Dimes on time and in the window, weeds blowing. Don't deny it that this show is a collaboration with a fan.
Bears girl moderating, Dr. Phil is the man. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
Dumped again! Akeem Hicks.
The show where we always bring the truth.
Eddie Jackson! Touchdown Bears!
Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live.
Yeah, I think a lot of the guys are alpha type players, personality wise. You look at the guys that we drafted as rookies. They're really good people that were leaders. And so that's going to give them advantage coming into this thing. They won't be overwhelmed by veteran players on the team, but yet they'll respect them, and they know their role. So I don't care if you're 20 years old or 33 years old or older than that. We don't care who's the best player you'll play. But again, like I said yesterday, you got to earn it. And so if you just are honest with them and you tell them you got to earn it, there's no expectations, then the rest is on video. It's on film.
Hello, Bears fans. This is Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil. That was Matt Nagy at the end of the Bears 3-day rookie minicamp talking about something the doctor has been prescribing for as long as he's been talking about football. No matter the age or the draft position, players need to earn their playing time. We're going to talk about those rookies, the Supreme Court decision allowing the states to determine their own gambling laws, answer all of our Barfly questions that they've submitted on Twitter with the hashtag AskBHL, and of course, Phil's opening rant is back. And we'll get to all of that and more after I learn how Stephanie, Mama Atoshin, enjoyed her Mother's Day. What did you and the kids do to spoil her, Phil?
Well, we woke up, took her out to grab some donuts from Neil's Donuts here in Connecticut, line out the door. One of Steph's favorite things is a coffee and a donut. Her guilty pleasure, as she says. And then we drove up to Rhode Island where my mom and dad had a beautiful lunch and dinner for us. And really was just a relaxing getaway from it all. And I had cards for Steph. I do the Walmart picture cards. And I got her a nice plant that we're going to plant with the kids tomorrow. So it was a great day. She felt the love, if you will.
Trey Busy's in the house and he wants to know what kind of donuts are we talking here.
Are you talking glaze, you know, Boston cream? Steph's a fan of the jelly donut with the powder on the outside, the strawberry one. And then, you know, the kids want the pink frosted with the sprinkles on it. So we had to get a couple of those. And my mom's a big Boston cream fan. So we got her a donut. She ended up eating two of them. If you're ever in Connecticut, I'm going to take any Barfly over to Neil's Donuts in Wallingford. Maybe we can get them to sponsor the show, Aldo, because great, great donut. Like, I kid you not, I took a picture for some of the Barflies to show them the line. It was like 9 in the morning before we hit the road. It was all the way down the street. So good stuff, good day. And she is a great person, you know. Without her, I wouldn't even be doing this show. Or she's pushing me to take a coaching job. So she's all in about football, but she's pissed, BG, at me, because she's like, you don't teach me the game. Everybody else knows the game, but you don't teach me the game. So this year, it's school's in session for Steph.
I think we lost Bears Girl.
Oh, we lost her.
She is frozen on our Skype feed. Very beautiful picture of her as she's gazing out into the sun. Phil, why don't you go ahead with your opening?
How'd you lose me?
Oh.
Oh, there she is.
You weren't moving or saying anything.
I'm right here.
Oh, she's got the Shane disease.
Yeah, your feed, actually the other phone was working better, Bears Girl.
I'm here.
Okay, so why don't...
It's the old Shane Marshall.
Phil, why don't you proceed with your opening rant, and then I'll proceed back to making jokes in the chat room.
All right. So, yeah, tonight, I really, and I was hoping Aldo would throw some music. There it is. A little music in the background here. Because I want to say this, really, to the Bears fan, the Chicago Raised, wherever you are around the globe. This sport of football is a team sport. And the essence of the game is really showcased through the head coach. Now, we've joked about it on Bears 100 Proof and for months leading up to the draft about how people misconstrue how important coaching is. As a coach myself and being around coaches, it was never a bias that I realized how important it was. It was embedded into me through players and how they live their lives and how they attack the football field. So when I look at Coach Nagy and I see his first quote opening day of minicamp as he's starting to ascend into his career, "I went to a 1AA school," he said. I refuse to let somebody slip by because of that. It's not going to happen with me. I'm going to make sure that our staff understand that. Now, the team is a reflection of the head football coach. I'll say that again. The team is a reflection of the head football coach. And as BG said, I've been preaching this for years. And what is absent of the Chicago Bears? Not only are they living through 1985, but I've seen the poorest display of coaching and secrecy and turmoil and business decisions reign supreme. So when I tell you for the first time in my lifetime, since I've felt confident in a head football coach, since Mike Ditka strolled the sidelines out, you could say whatever it is you want about Ditka, past tense, or what have you, but he had respect. And he had respect of the football players, the city, and the team. And you know what? As a young man, I felt secure that the head coach was going to get the most out of his football players. So when I watched my first impression of a guy now getting the groceries for his team, and I saw Matt Nagy out there, I felt a power and a passion that I hadn't felt ever again. Since I was a little kid and not knowing what it felt like, that something is brewing in the positive light. The Chicago Bears, with this head coach putting an emphasis on the best will play. Doesn't matter the age, the salary, the draft position, you're going to go out there and you're going to earn it. And that's all I've ever wanted. The philosophies, the game plans, all that stuff are going to come. But right now, the head coach is sending a message to the football team. And when I'm sitting here telling you that I've prayed nights that Chicago would finally get it, finally know what Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick and the winners represent. They demand respect. They demand to play the best. They shut out the owner and tell him to go kiss their ass. Because I'm going to play who is going to help us win. And you know what, sir? That's going to make you money in the long run. But it's going to make us win and be champions. So, when someone jumps off the tape and someone's assessing us talent and is going back and setting forth a plan and he's being as transparent, he being Coach Nagy, as transparent as he was with the media, and with his team, I'm telling you right now, this isn't bull. This isn't smoke. This isn't fanboy. This is really something, as Shane Marceau, if he was on the show, could tell you, that I've spent time just talking to him, saying, I need this to happen. And people, I've said it on the show 100 times when I had my own rant every day. It was one of the things I know and recognize. Lovey, Trestman, Fox, they just didn't do. Just be truthful. I loved the one last point. The fact when they were talking about Kevin Tolliver and he had troubles. So what do you do with a player like that? And Coach Nagy's as transparent and as honest and as thorough as humanly possible. And telling you, well, everybody, there's no elephant in the room. The truth is, you know and I know that you've had strikes against you. And I'm going to be truthful with that player. And I'm going to say, listen, you're on a short leash. You either do it or you don't do it. And I put the ball in their court. So at the end of the day, if there's some mess up, it's on them. Because I'm giving you every opportunity to be successful. And that is what teaching, that's what the great ones do. And coaches understand they're going to get the most out of their players. And that, my friends, is the difference in the Chicago air on the field, at Halas Hall, and for Chicago football again. And right now, we are at the basis the foundation of what is going to transpire. The excitement is there from the head coach. He's telling you that he can't wait to get the pads on. But you saw them make changes, sign players, and get excited about this football team. And that is my opening rant on the Chicago Bears.
Bears girl, are you with us? Bears girl cannot hear what we are talking about.
Well, Aldo, I got to say, Coach Nagy just took the ball, took the podium, and took to being a head coach in an A-plus way. I have not heard that kind of command and that kind of thoroughness and honesty from a Chicago Bears head coach with the practice at the end of it. And meaning you saw him say a kid stood out and they go and sign a kid like Fleming from a Division III school. There is going to be competition that's going to mean the most in the battle of who is going to make this roster. And the ultimate reality television show that is football, that is the most important thing that's been missing from this football team. And we've joked about it. We've cried about it even. To get the best personnel on the field to give you the best chance to win. And really, the testing of him saying, we put in a few plays on Friday. We wanted to see if they made mistakes on Saturday. And if they did, I want to know why. And this is really showing you behind the scenes. You know, the greatest athlete, like I talked about, Aldo, might not be on the team because they can't take the information and apply it to the football field. That is important in Chicago. Now, you're going to work with these players. How much time do you have to help them grasp what it is that you want from them so Sundays are successful again? And that really stood out to me from this head coach. I mean, how could you not be excited? There's so much to be excited about over one rookie weekend that it baffles my mind that there isn't more excitement here, because the honesty and what you're seeing out there from the players yet to be in pads, you can look at a glass half full or half empty. To me, it's full, and I'm full of excitement.
So we have the chat room fired up thanks to your rant, which, by the way, I did hear all of. Harp4803 says, we have a true professional staff, not the clown show we had in the past. Right. We had Dustin Padilla in the chat room tonight, and he says, Phil, you brought a tear to my eye there.
I appreciate it, Dustin.
John Santucci is saying that you're making him want to really aerobicize thanks to the music that Aldo selected for your rant. Want to clarify that. Ryan Cox is in the house, and he said,
I love that you clarified that.
Oh, yeah, it's making it my song. Ryan Cox says, I just ran through a wall, Phil. Let's go.
We have to go, and I appreciate you guys listening in, joining in the chat, because I'm fired up. Again, Aldo will be the first one to tell you. Shane will tell you. They'll break my chops to the nines. But this matters to me. Football and the Chicago Bears in a guy that went to Hofstra University and everyone's a Giants and Jets fan, breaking your chops all the way through your life about your Bears living off of 85. And then really ultimately giving the keys to these people. And yeah, hindsight's 20/20. People could joke about Phil Emery and Mark Trestman and Dick Geron and all of the bull. But there's jokes there. There's stuff to take from that is embarrassing. And there hasn't been one moment that I've been embarrassed since Matt Nagy has been hired, or I've shaken my head and questioned what they're saying. So there is reason to be excited. And there is a real, you know, I don't mince words and I'll tell it like it is. And this is a family show, so I'm not going to swear, but I am very emotional about this football team. Not only with what they did in the draft and free agency and where Mitchell Trubisky is from what I see and who Adrian Amos is. Keep talking about him. Do me a favor. Keep talking about him. Don't appreciate him, because that's just going to motivate him even more. I'm that type of person, too. I've always been the shortest. They've always doubted me, and I've always stepped up. And that's where I am right now on this show, that I believe in this crew of people, and I'm telling you that I put my neck out there. There's hours, I don't know, maybe Sandy Tom in Scotland has the amount of hours that I've spoken on Bears Barroom. So my words are out there. You could go record them, tweet them. I'm nowhere to hide. I'm proud of what I have to say. And for the first time that I can remember as an adult, I feel confident with the general of the Chicago Bears that nobody else is invading. No politics are going to play a role in who is going to play on Sunday. And I can't tell you how many games the Bears have lost because of politics. I know players that have played for all of those coaches that I listed. Lovey, Jerron, Tressman, and now last year's coach, John Fox. I've talked to players. I've heard stories, again, from them, so you could take it for what it is. But I'm telling you, as a football guy, I've never shaken my head so much with how much politics invaded personnel, decisions, scared to go for it on fourth down, all of that stuff. I don't feel like you, as the educated Bear fan, barfly that you are going to have to worry about that anymore. And I'm on this radio sticking my neck out there tonight and throughout this whole draft season to tell you that that is the truth in my eyes.
So we have about 30 listeners in the chat room right now. Trey93 says, I get fired up at least once a day from all these videos we are getting on the Bears Twitter. And Hart4803, I think, nails it when he says, it's all a new culture over at Hallis Hall.
How much does a culture matter? I know some of you have never suited up. I've played this game. Coach Nagy on the 1AA level, that's where I was. Was I the greatest? No. I was humbled. I will tell you the God's honest truth, humbled. But there was a culture in every locker room that I've ever played in or been around or coached with. And that fan, what was it, Trey93? You're 100% right. There is a different culture. Matt Nagy painting on the walls. I guarantee you one of those scumbags writers from one of the Tribune will just throw the Tribune out there, because they have been so pathetic, Aldo and BG, covering the Bears pathetically. Yes, bring any of them on. Rosenblum should honestly have gotten his walking papers for what he did to Roquan Smith. It was so disgusting. But they'll make fun of the paint on the wall statements of where the culture needs to go. You know, people think Jim Harbaugh is a maniac, he's weird or whatever, but he gets it. He understands the heartbeat and the pulse of a locker room is so important. Not just about clearing out the cancers, it's about turning the cancers into leaders. And really, that's what you're seeing here. And this culture, to me, has never been football first. Football first in Chicago. And now it is. And I really believe that, guys, coming from a guy. Again, I'll be critical, I'll be hyped, and I'll tell you the truth. this is different. It's different. Now, is it going to work? I don't know. But I know every other POS system and politic and all of the crap has not worked. So now, how about embrace the culture? Chicago Tribune, Sun Times, all you media heads out there, embrace it and see where it goes. Because that positive energy on somebody who's his first job, his first time defining who his team is going to be, is right now. And you're not going to get this information on another station or another podcast. I guarantee you that. But I am going to, Barfly's DMing me, sending me advice and gifts, and I appreciate you guys so much. Standing up for the truth, shouting out Bears Barroom, beautiful. Means a lot to me. But I see this really for what it is. The Chicago Bears are blocking out the BS and are putting football first. And really, that's what I saw on the first coaching showcase of the mini camp weekend.
So speaking of that 3-day rookie camp, it's now over. And of course, there's very little that these players can do from an athletic standpoint, but there is much they can do to impress those coaches with how quickly they can learn their assignments and showing a positive attitude towards the game and this historic franchise. You asked us to pull some audio, and Aldo has pieced it together for us tonight. Let's start with Anthony Miller. The wide receiver Ryan Pace traded next year's second round pick and a fourth rounder for. Here's Miller when he was asked on how he felt about the Bears trading for him.
It makes me feel great. You know, it showed me that they really believed in my abilities and what I can do. And I'm just excited to be in a city like Chicago, a part of a team that loves to play football like I do.
And later he was asked what Steve Smith, the future Hall of Fame wide receiver, told him when the two met at the combine.
He just told me I'm a great player. He likes the way I play. He reminds me of himself a little bit in the way that, you know, I play kind of intense, you know, with sort of an attitude. And, you know, he just likes the way I play. He told me to slow down a little bit in certain situations because, you know, I get a bit antsy sometimes. But, you know, I just soaked it all in.
And lastly, he's not shy about showing his confidence. So when he was asked if he could be great without having such great faith in his talents, he had this to say.
No, you can't be great without it. You got to believe in yourself always. You always got to know that you can run that route, make that catch, make any type of play. And, yeah, to be a receiver in this league, especially going against great DBs like there are, you got to have that confidence.
So, Phil, I like this guy. Let's hear your impressions on Anthony Miller.
This is the guy that plays with a chip on his shoulder. And when I was doing the film work on him, the one thing that really showed up, aside from all his talent, you know, the 10 5/8 hands of Bearlissimo, as you corrected me, not 10-inch hands, 10 5/8-inch hands. The hands, the athletic ability, the quickness, the route tree, the separation, all of those things he's tremendous at. But there's an attitude. There's something special within this kid. I remember Chad Johnson had what I called, he's not as gifted as Anthony Miller was, but he had that same attitude that any ball coming his way was going to be his. Same with Steve Smith as he's repping here with him. That shows up on tape. That attitude isn't phony. He's not putting on a show for the media. This is somebody that's blocking a safety 20 yards downfield on a toss play the other way to the ground and blocking him out of the end zone and blocking a stalk block of the opposite side of the field all the way until the whistle. This guy takes pride, and really, that's the most important thing. Sometimes when we're humbled, we don't get the scholarship. We don't get the starting position. We don't get believed in. Then we find out who our real character is. And in watching this guy, he's worked so hard to be the player he's become that nothing is going to stop him. So he's going to run through a brick wall for you. And those kind of players are the ones that are special, that you want to coach. And I'm telling you right now, I ask Aldo to pull these quotes and these audio, because this draft class has a chance to be special. Because everything we're talking about with the culture, Trey 93, these guys are under the umbrella of what they were looking for. And that's where Anthony Miller stands out. This kid is going to be a rookie that's going to believe that this is his third year in the NFL, and he's going to dominate. And when you believe it, and you're that gifted athletically and have that kind of ability, then guess what's going to happen? It's going to transcend onto the football field. So if he gets his playbook, BG, and it seems like that's all his focus is going to be, the sky is the limit for where this kid is going to go. And really, again, the doubters and the naysayers are going to be out there, but Anthony Miller is somebody a desirable for me now on the Chicago Bears, and really ultimately those quotes and the attitude set the bar for where you want your young football player to be coming into your program.
So Trey Busy is in the house, and he says Anthony Miller is a beast, man, and never forget we were live when they traded back in the second round to get him. And we have a prediction in the chat room from one other than Aldo Gandia, who says Anthony Miller will finish his career as the all-time leader in receptions for a Bears player. He will break Peyton's team record of 492.
Wow, Gandia coming in. I like it. I like what Trey's serving. You know, Trey has been a proponent for this guy, too. Big time for Bears Barroom, and it's really showing up. And yes, I think we'll have to pull that audio maybe for tomorrow when we were live reacting, because I remember sitting here on
this all confused
couch, and Trey's like, no, the Bears traded up. And I'm like, they did? And we're all excited about who they were going to pick. And the reaction was just, it was tremendous to capture it live. And what a great pick and a great moment for Bears Barroom, because Anthony Miller, for the fantasy football players, I believe in what Aldo's serving, because I think this kid has the perfect fit athletically for the system, but the attitude is embedded in what Pace and Nagy want. You know, they were talking about that real quick before the draft. You see the laughter and the personality. Your GM and head coach need to be close. They need to understand what each other, like me and Shane would be perfect if I was the coach, he was the GM, because even though we don't agree on everything, he understands, and I would want a certain player. You get that. If you are a Barfly loyal listener, you'll understand what I'm saying. It's important that the GM understands the personality that I work with best and what I'm looking for talent-wise, and get that player to the program, especially when you're just starting to build the program. So Miller, I don't know, all week long after the draft, BG, NFL Network during the draft and ESPN praising the Chicago Bears. I taped every, and I'll say this for NFL Network only, because I didn't tape much of ESPN's post-draft coverage, but I wanted to say this real quickly, that the NFL Network never once on their path to the draft, afterthought, whatever it was called, never once praised the Bears again. Not on one show. I don't know where Lance Zierlein went and Charles Davis and all of them. I taped everyone and I was looking, and it was just mentions of them. They were never the focal point. To me, it it was just one of these things again where you got this national praise. You got today NFL.com. I'm sure we're going to talk about that later. Number one ranked draft. But then they're not talking about it like it is that important. So to me, that was very strange. And I just wanted to point that out because it's so monumentally different than what we're used to. GM, coach, walking step for step. You could, even if you were the, you know, the just the Sunday fan, like the guy that goes to church on the holidays, you were just a casual Bears fan. You felt a break between Pace and Fox. It didn't take much to recognize it. Although they tried to keep it hush-hush, there wasn't a good communication system going on there. Now, same thing. You don't need to be the body language reader to recognize there's something special these two have and are building. And that kind of trust is going to be even better for the Chicago Bears.
So, Phil, realistically, how long do you think Miller and Trubisky need to get comfortable with one another?
I always laugh at that stuff. Where, you throw the ball to the spot. So it's on Miller to understand his playbook because the guy runs the routes. Now, my first job in coaching was wide receivers coach. 2 weeks into coaching the receivers, the head coach is like, no, I want you to coach the offensive line because you've been a running back, you've been a wide receiver. I want you to learn this game from the basis of it. And the reason why I bring this up is because I understood, the coach understood, that the receiver's responsibility was simple. Know your route, get to where you're supposed to be and be there on time. Because in what these run pass options and what the West Coast influences are going to be is all on timing and checks and communication. So the rookie's going to have to be in the playbook in communication with this guy throughout the summer. And then when it's opening night, there should be no problems. That's an excuse. That's an excuse on not being prepared. And we've seen that too much that we're just playing. Remember how I would say, oh, they just keep putting Kevin White to the top of the line. Kid doesn't know a damn thing in his playbook, but he's our first round pick, so politics are going to push him up there. Now, this young kid behind him could be better than him, a kid named Cam Meredith. Maybe Daniel Braverman was better than the Bears allowed him to be. Maybe Trey McBride was better than what was being put in front of him. But let's play politics. This kid, Mitchell Trubisky, after a month of playing together and throwing the football, when a guy sticks his routes the way Miller does, the body language is easy to read. It's a quarterback's best friend. I'm telling you right now, the kid separates. He showcases. He understands how to act at the route. I call it the craft. Even the kid Wims has the ability to stem the pattern correctly. It's impressive how they've got these rookie receivers. And again, the college influence of the game, BG and Barflies, is coming into the NFL more so than the NFL influences college. So when you are looking at RPO and communications, you need to be in the right place. That's it. Know your route and run the route versus the coverage that you see. And a lot of the things like Mike Marks used to do, those patterns that were devised after the coverage was defined, and it was very complex. In this offense, the complexity is just understanding communication. And so therefore, with repetition, I don't see a problem whatsoever. And opening night, the best should play. And Miller, I guarantee you, is going to be your second best receiver.
All right, Phil, let's look at the next player you wanted us to focus on after the rookie camp. Bilal Nichols, the fifth rounder from Delaware, who can hopefully take over Mitch Unrein's role, was asked the difference between the defense he played in college and the Bears D.
In Delaware, you know, we was a lot more patient waiting for blocks. Where here, you know, they want you to knock guys back and get up the field. You know, so that's something that I really like a lot.
All right, so what do you think of his ability to play Bears-style defense, Phil, now that we have the right audio?
Listen, this is a family show. Aldo's got family in the house. We're going to give him a couple breaks, even though he probably doesn't. Anyway, yeah, Bilal Nichols excites me because this is baby Huey right here. This is a guy that doesn't even know how good he could be. And is telling you as much in recognizing that, wait a second, this defense is asking me to attack. Now, what is the difference in football? When you're attacking, you're not having to think. You're being allowed to be aggressive. And thus, his traits that really jump out is quickness and power. I mean, you look at this kid's builds. His buttocks and his body is all power. And really, when you look at his quickness out of the gap and into the backfield, if you're allowing him to not be the focus of another team's offensive game plan to block, because you're going to have Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, and you're going to rotate this kid in there if Roy Robb is going to be your starter. And that's how I think camp is going to be. I think Roy Robb is going to take that step and he's going to be your starter. I think Jonathan Bullard is going to be on thin ice. I really, really do. I'm reading between the tea leaves. We could talk about this tomorrow, but I think Bilal Nichols is going to surprise people. He's going to be another trademark Ryan Pace fifth round, Jordan Howard, Adrian Amos, and now Bilal Nichols. The kid has what I love. And that is strength to power to quickness. That God-given ability with the ability to just let him go is going to allow this young man to really set the precedent. I mean, you look at him, anybody that was a Mark Grody, friend of the show, just recognized how built this kid is and like he's a man. So he's just a young man not knowing what he can do. So Vic Fangio has a piece of Play-Doh that he's going to be able to mold. And I know Shane and I talked about Vita Vea. We talked about getting the five technique that looks like the Justin Smith that was in San Francisco that could come down and just dominate. And be powerful and take on those doubles and free up others. Because they just don't give two craps. They're going to be that bouncer. That's what Nichols, I believe, has. This kid's a tough son of a gun. And I'm really excited about this football player, BG. Fifth round pick. And I'm telling you, on tape, I know friend of the show, Emery Hunt, was very excited about him. And Sigmund Bloom came on and our own scout, Danny Shimon, if you haven't listened to those shows post-draft, you should go back. But all of them were excited. But me, I'm ecstatic about this fifth-round pick.
So he was asked if there was anything specific at Hallis Hall that inspired him, and he immediately said this.
When you look at the pictures of that 85 Bears defense, that's something that really hits me. You know, how ferocious they played, how dominant they were, you know, how they just controlled games. You know, that's how I would love to see the defense I play in go.
So John Santucci in the chat room says Nichols is a specimen for sure, powerful man. Mr. Riordan is in the house, and he says Nichols is going to be a boss. Gaines Report says, agreed, he sure is, John. And we have yet another prediction from Aldo saying Bilal Nichols will have a better career than Vita Vea.
Wow. Aldo's going down. Now that gambling is going to be legalized everywhere, Aldo's going to be deeply rich and treating us to games and popcorn, or he's going to be filing bankruptcy. So I'm praying that he's going to be the positive side, Aldo, with all these bets you have. But, you know, I'm not going to bet on this, but I really believe that, you know, there's certain players that just pop and they just become like one of your guys. And unfortunately, with all the stuff I have going on in my life, and you saw the video, the desirable, I can't even remember how many I did. And when it came to the sleepers, I never got an opportunity because I was focusing on some of the wide receivers. But this was a guy that I really was, I just really liked the football player on tape. Then after I saw his story and I'm hearing about who he is and his grandmother raised him. If you haven't seen that, got to go check it out. I think I have a link in my Twitter. I tweeted it out post the draft, but this kid is something special. And how could you not pull for that kid? And really, as he embraces the 85 team and you're talking about attacking football, that stuff is great.
So I want to talk about one last player. You sent a tweet out on John Franklin III that the Bears have signed him, and you're intrigued by this guy. So tell us why.
Well, John, first of all, I am addicted to football documentaries. Like, I miss coaching so much. This is my true confession. I've been offered a few jobs, and I've had to turn it down for family. And I miss it so much. So sometimes to find these documentaries in Amazon Prime and Facebook actually has this great documentary called Titletown, Texas. If you go search that, you just get the feel of what a coach and what the players go through. Netflix has this documentary series on Last Chance U. And a coaching friend of mine who coaches junior college, he was telling me, you got to check this out, Phil. And I did. And I'm checking out the story and the coach. And there's all this controversy. And there's this kid, John Franklin III, on the football team who ended up leaving Florida State. He was a highly touted athlete. I forget where he's from, his hometown. But he went to Florida State as a quarterback. He was immature, talented as all can be, had snaps, ends up going to East Mississippi State University, where this Netflix documentary, and it documents his whole story and how he overtook the other quarterback, then gets his chance at redemption and has himself a tremendous, you know, rebound with this football team when he gets the opportunity. He's just unstoppable. He ends up going to Auburn after JUCO, and where he, you know, doesn't do the best. It has to transfer again. So he's one of these guys that he's very arrogant. He's very immature. And hopefully all of the turmoil within him moving and moving positions, because now the Bears have listed him as kick returner and defensive back. So this is a kid I thought maybe you'd play at wide receiver. But mark my words, the intrigue of this football player is because if you can tap into this kid, the talent that God gave him athletically is there to be a first-round talent. I'm serious. I know there's numbers out there that he ran a 4.19 or 4. I was told it was a 4.4 flat. Still, 4.4 is world-class speed, let me tell you. If you've ever seen anyone running a 4.4 40, Eric McEachin, Hofstra University, ran a 4.39. It's the fastest human being I've ever seen run in my life. It's unbelievable seeing it live. So 4.4 is flying. So if this kid's going to be a kick returner and be in that competition as a defensive back, he's going to have to make it special teams. So he's going to have to humble himself and really have that urge. And I feel like he was humble because I thought the Seattle Seahawks BG had signed him. He was one of the names I was looking for post-draft right away. Mm-hmm. I'm like, John Franklin, freaking Seahawks, of course. Because what did I say on shows before? Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll. They open the door to these undrafted free agents and they become superstars. Hey, guess what? Baldwin in Seattle, maybe the best slot receiver in the NFL right now. Undrafted free agent. I can go down the list of Seahawks. Kid doesn't go there. All of a sudden, he's having a tryout with the Bears? And I believe I was the first one to point out the fact that he was getting a tryout with the Bears and that this kid was an interesting subject and really a great story. And then all of a sudden, he's made the football team. So, you know, I'm proud of that because the Netflix story, the journey, the humbling, which John Franklin are you going to get? And with a coach that just as we talked about, BG says, listen, I'm going to tell you straightforward the truth. You have a few strikes against you. People have doubted you. What are you going to do? Because we're going to clear your slate, but I'm letting you know it's on you. John Franklin could be, come the summer, depending how he takes to coaching, could be the next, you know, best thing in Chicago, or he could be an afterthought. But right now, I know that this coach and this staff are going to give him every chance to be and have the opportunity to be the player he's going to be. And I think that is why he's here. And I think that message, I don't want to miss this point that I forgot, that message that Nagy sent, not only with signing John Franklin, but what he said was heard loud and clear through the agents around the NFL and players around the NFL, that undrafted, age, anybody, salary, wherever, you're going to get your opportunity to be successful. If you and really, if that's the open door, where, let me tell you, players talk, that wasn't the case with John Fox, Jaron, any of them. It was politics. No longer are here. And really sending that message and getting a guy like John Franklin, he's gonna be somebody in the Hall of Fame game that's gonna be his crossroads because he's gonna get a lot of playing time and a lot of opportunities. So Bear fans and Barflies, let's keep an eye on this kid because he really is talented and I know he's transitioning positions, but if anybody could do it with that kind of talent, if he takes to Donatell and Fangio and what they're preaching, as well as kick return, you know, that kid can fly. It's going to be exciting to see what kind of money they make with this young man.
So number 47, John Franklin III, apparently ran a 4.19, and thanks to Brandon Janoski, who just joined us in the chat room for that. And here's an interesting fact on this 23-year-old. He was born in Lunenburg, Germany.
Wow. I wonder if we have any German fans listening in or to the podcast. If you are, tweet at us. I'm going to send you my first Bears Barroom t-shirt I made, untrademarked by Aldo Bears. No.
Oh, great. Aldo, now we got bootleg stuff that your school is going to start selling out of its trunk. Great. All my hard work in the gutter. Awesome.
I'm kidding.
All right. The last piece of audio I want to get to is something that Nagy had to say that I think really touched us all.
So what I want to make sure that I do, and we've emphasized this with the coaches, is make sure that we're giving each and every one of these guys a fair opportunity. It can be so easy to overlook guys just because they're undrafted or they didn't come from a big school. And you know, Ryan last night at our dinner, Ryan gave a little note to the players of how many guys have made it as undrafted free agents, and just as a little bit of motivation. And so, you know, there's some of us coaches that know these type of players and where they come from and how they can make it. And we're crazy if we overlook them. So we won't do that.
So thoughts on that, Bill?
That's unbelievable. That's the message, guys, that I'm talking about. That's sent agents. That's sent to other players. Think about players that signed or went over. I could think of the kid Vincent Smith, former player with Mike Furry, at Limestone. He ended up going to the Houston Texans. The kid gets cut. That kind of opportunity, wait a second, this is what the Chicago Bears mean now under Coach Nagy. Again, going back to the culture of the Chicago Bears is changing. That kind of message resonates with me as the underdog player, with guys that are out there that got overlooked and it bothers them. I think of the best defensive lineman I've ever seen, honestly, was John Randall of the Minnesota Vikings. He was 20 times the player Warren Sapp would ever be. I'm telling you right now, undrafted out of Texas A&I. That guy caused havoc. That guy was the focus to stop. And that churned him into the Hall of Fame. There are more undrafted free agents in the Hall of Fame than there are first overall picks or top 10 first round picks. That tells you something. There's no science behind personnel and finding it. You need to go everywhere to do it. And I think you're seeing that this weekend. The Bears cut a few players. They signed four guys that tried out, or five guys that tried out.
Five.
Five guys that tried out for the football team. This kind of message sends through the locker room. It sends through the veterans. Let's not forget about some of them that we've seen as Bears fans. Lance Briggs comes to mind. Coasting. Jogging. You know, I got this. I'm the starter. Who gives a crap? We've seen this before. Well, you send a message like this that everybody matters. There's not going to be any stone unturned, that this coach was that guy. So he'd be a hypocrite to overlook talent based on where it comes from. Like, I never understood it, BG. But it always happened with the Bears. And when you live in the backyard in New England where their whole wide receiver core that, mind you, they've gone and won the championship a few times, you think? They're all undrafted. Amendola, Hogan, all of them. Wes Welker was undrafted. This is about finding heart, passion, talent. To be in the NFL, you all have to be good. Everybody that tried out this weekend that the media is crapping on was a great football player. They were all-stater in high school. They were an All-American, or they were second-team All-Conference. Whatever it was, they were a great football player. That can't be overlooked. So when you look at the greatest teams, they take people and what do you call it? Oh, my God. They take all the ingredients from all over, and they put it together to get the best, to spice it up and serve it to their fans. And that's what the great ones do. And that's what I think this guy is preaching. And really, ultimately, I am excited about that. And I know Aldo is too.
He's also excited about his ice cream.
I know.
So let's talk about where the NFL graded the Bears draft with an A compared to our friends over at ESPN who rated us at, I believe it was 28th out of 32 teams. So the NFL said it was the best draft in the NFC North and tied for the best among all NFL teams. What is up with that discrepancy and what do you think about it?
That's the thing. It doesn't make any sense because you go and walk. Like, this is the problem I have with a lot of these talking heads and Twitter tough guys. They don't remember, or they delete what they said so it doesn't exist. But for me, I pay attention and I see the broadcast, ESPN, Riddick, McShay, Kuiper, all praising every pick the Bears made. Then all of a sudden you're 28th. How does that even – I don't get it. And then same thing as I said at the top. They're Charlie Casserly. Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, Roquan Smith. I'll tell you what, James Daniels was the steal of the draft in the second round to get that talent. I had him as the 12th best player in the whole draft, Casserly. Then you get Anthony Miller, and this is what they're talking about immediately after the draft. So how does it change? Obviously, NFL.com is telling you they're an A. Shane Marsall gave him a B+. I don't know. He's a tough grader. But I thought it was an A draft as well. To me, I don't get it. I don't understand the discrepancy. I see the truth, and I'm excited about this draft class. I mean, you look at the kid, Kylie Fitz, what he's bringing. I know Coach mentioned him. Again, they're in shorts and helmets. It doesn't matter. The assessment of if that kid sucked, you would know it. If that kid was, oh boy, you know, he's not quick. He's not what those test numbers say. And again, the pads are going to be the ultimate litmus for this, but really ultimately, right now, you look at the tape, you look at what they were able to do and how they're building this football team, and you have to be excited. There's no doubting that this draft was an A draft for what it is the Chicago Bears are trying to be.
So we've got a chat room poll going for grading this draft and telling us why the grade. We've got Trey Busy saying A. We got three day one starters, and that's not an A minus.
That's a great point, because how many teams go out of the draft and get, you know, everybody was, and no offense to Aldo, I and Shane Marsaw slamming, you don't take guards in the top 10. You were able at a crossroads. Was the Saquon Barkley selection with the Giants. Now that set the tone of these quarterbacks going. Now it's the Colts. Let's remember the Colts. The debates with the guy, I forget his name. We should get him on the show, Aldo. The Colts reporter bashing the Bears. Bashing the Bears all over. I'm sure one of the Barfly will get it. I think it was Kent something. That pick, Nelson versus Roquan Smith, will be the story of this draft, because I have it under good merit that those were the two names that they were juggling at that moment. So they chose Nelson gratefully. I celebrated in my house, because now we are going to get a football player that I believe was going to be defensive. And to get Roquan Smith, there's one starter. Now you coming back, James Daniels. I can't say enough about this football player. And then Anthony Miller, who we talked about throughout this whole show. So as Trey's saying, you get three starters in two rounds. You've given up a second round pick to essentially affirm a guy that you were aggressively committed to, knowing that he's going to fit in Miller. That's a win. You didn't give up a first-round pick. You gave up a second-round pick that you could possibly recoup to get this football player now to help the now Matt Nagy Bears. And to me, that's an A. That's how you work the draft. All three of those players were in my top 40 in the whole draft. So how could I not give them an A?
So our Barflies always coming to our rescue are letting us know that it was our dear friend Kent Sterling over in Indy who was the reporter who let the world know that Indy was a better place than Chicago. Apparently not true. So let's go through a couple more of the draft ratings, and I'm just going to read through them because we're already well into Bears hour and a half live tonight. So we have Mr. Riordan, grade A, 5 to 6 starters this year. John Santucci says A because three potential starters and lots of third day upside. Brian Quinn, B. Diddy, says A, we hit it on the first three. We've got AirJer54 saying, I think there are some sneaky deep guys too. A in my mind. Frankie Myers saying, I'd grade this draft an A minus. We've got 3 day one starters, and every drafted player has the potential to make an impact immediately on that 53-man roster. We also got incredible depth. from the undrafted free agent pool for competition. If we had gotten a higher caliber pass rusher, I would have given this draft an A+. And Aldo came in with his comment on Quentin Nelson. If we had selected him, no goalpost would ever sack Trubisky ever.
Well done, Aldo. Yeah, I was just wondering what Adam Abdallah chimed in with from ESPN. I'm sure he gave us a nice, strong C-.
Yeah. Yeah, let's move on from that. Trey also had a great point in the chat who says he didn't necessarily agree with the NFL because last year they gave us, was it a C- for drafting a quarterback when we needed one?
Yeah, the whole Fog story of Glennon.
Exactly. So, let's talk about some news that broke today. The internet buzzing that the United States Supreme Court has struck down a law that prohibits sports gambling, so now all 50 states can legalize betting on sports. I gotta tell you, I didn't even know this was illegal, because up here in Canada, we can bet on sports anytime we want and have for years. The only difference is we can't wager on a single sporting event, so when I want to bet on the Bears every week, I got to pick two other games to include on my ProLine ticket. So why is this such a big deal?
Well, I think the NFL is making it a big deal. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry has been have a guy named Frankie, who's the bookie, and you're calling Frankie, hey, Frankie, I'm putting in on, you know, 100 times on this one and whatever the lingo is. I'm not a big gambler, but everybody I know is a gambler. And they're all doing it illegally behind closed doors with the local bookie. And really what it is I don't know why the NFL thinks there's going to be an when there already could possibly be that. And there's documented stories from the past. I think if it's legalized, and obviously we don't know the whole structure legally of what the parameter, I don't know any, like it could be just like you are describing in Canada. So once you see that, but for me, I just think it just takes, it gives money to the state and the debts and all of the BS that we're having to pay for taxes for quote-unquote fixing roads. Maybe we'll start getting rid of these potholes, because I drive to Hartford, Connecticut every day. I'm telling you, I don't know where the fixing of the roads is, because it ain't there. Because I'm scrunching my teeth. I remember hitting the top of my head on the car. I talked about it on Bears 100 Proof once, but it's bad. And, you know, gambling to me, people love to do it. I have enough anxiety wanting the Bears to win. I don't need to put money on that. So for me, I'm in that lane, but I do the fantasy football lane. So I wonder what that will have on the fantasy football stuff. It'll be interesting to see that as well. But I'm excited about it because I think it brings more attention to the game. It just brings the truth instead of this ugly behind the scenes, you know, Frankie and Joey, the bookies, and you're calling them. Now that's going to be alleviated, and you're really going to see something in return from this, hopefully.
So Chachi, aka Frankie Myers, in our chat room wants to let everyone know that if anyone needs to place a bet, he knows a guy.
Exactly. We all know a guy, Chachi. And usually it probably is a Frankie.
Could be. So our barflies love our hashtag AskBHL. It keeps me occupied for several hours on Monday nights, and I love our barflies for it. And here are some of the things that they wanted to know. John Santucci says, Trubisky was spotted checking out the action at minicamp. Which of these reasons tells us why Mitch was there? A, he can't get enough football. B, he can't wait for the season to start. C, he's a born leader building camaraderie. D, he's bored. Or E, all of the above.
I don't think he's bored at all. So if you minus that and then put all of the above, I think that's where it is. This kid's a leader. He's excited about the new weapons that he's going to have. We talked about it, the year of the quarterback, building around Mitchell Trubisky. You want to get a peek at those guys and see what they are, especially if it's a rookie camp and you're not involved in it. I just thought, again, shout out to friend of the show, Mark Grody, for capturing that in a picture and not just talking about it. He had a picture of it and snapped it. Mitch on his tippy toes watching practice like a kid in a candy store. To me, that's exciting. He's there. Think about those rookies that the quarterback gives a crap about them and what's going on out there, as well as it sends a message to the coaches that this is important to me and I want this team to be successful. I absolutely loved that. Loved the fact that he was there. Loved the fact that he's interested. Loved the fact that he's excited about what these new players might look like. I got to get over there and get a glimpse of them, because let me tell you something. If we had a dollar for every player that has ever said, well, I know as much about this as you guys do. They're being honest. They're in the locker room, but they don't know what's going on, what trade is going to be made, what's going on. The guy just shows up and he's next, and they don't even know how the guy played, where he played. They got to talk to him just like you and I would have to talk to them. And really, I think Mitchell's curiosity is something, you know, a young, enthusiastic leader really is a remedy to years past. You know, as much as I, you know, defend Cutler for the tape, there's clear stories where the guy lacked the personality and compassion to make people want to go the extra mile for him every time. Not sometimes, every time. And I think this kind of situation embarks on a locker room to say, you know what, I want to go to war for this guy every time. And that really is why it stood out. And I thought, I was very thankful for Mark for taking that picture and sharing it.
Grody was definitely tweeting up a storm all weekend long. So I guess we're still in his head.
I'm in his head. I'm writing a song about Grody for 100 proof for when he returns. I've been writing songs, Aldo. I was inspired by some of the love and the hate and the barroom growth. So I've been busy writing songs. I think I have like 6 new parody songs that I've written, not recorded yet, but written. So Grody is one of them.
Heidi's listening in the chat room, and I'm sure she's going to message any second that she can't wait for that double disc collection to make it to her. So let's go.
I'm glad she loves it. I appreciate you, Heidi.
Another barfly question, this time from our dear friend Dustin Reagan Padilla at Dustin Reg Pad. He says, chances Kylie Fitz is this year's Eddie Jackson?
You know, it's a great question. And again, BG does a great job. You guys do a great job with the hashtag AskBHL. I honestly get out of work and I go to the gym. I pick up my sons from daycare. I go to the gym. I don't even get to see these questions. So I'm answering these now, right off the cuff. I've liked or favored him real quick, but I really haven't looked at him. But for this, Dustin, it's a great question. Kylie Fitz is an interesting cat because the injury bug has really set them back. And I can't count. I don't have enough hands. I don't have enough people to count how many players have had a lot of talent, but the injury bug hits them. And then fandom selfishly says, oh, that guy's a freaking bust. And you look at Kevin White on the football team. I don't know what he could have been. I know what I saw when I saw him down in New England. But still, he was coming off an injury again. So what could these players be? Here's the guy that has been set back by the injury bug and really couldn't showcase himself for what he truly is. Now, when you look at the tape when he wasn't injured, and then you apply that tape to the scores, and again, Calculator Kent giving you those RAS scores. This guy's really highly involved in these RAS scores. The athletic index of him is tremendous. So when you look at his speed and his ability to bend and get after the passer, you know, a lot of people were down, including the same people that are poo-pooing, you know, undrafted free agents on their podcast. You know, they were really down on Eddie Jackson because he had a rod in his leg, totally overlooking what he did on the football field when he was healthy. So Dustin is asking an excellent question, because it really is one of those things where you can catch lightning in a bottle, and the Bears have a huge need on it at that position of outside linebacker, edge rusher. So this guy, it really could be. It's going to be interesting, Dustin, to see, but I totally know where you're going, and I'm totally feeling the path that you're taking. It's something that we're going to have to watch to see how he takes the coaching and the physicality of pads, because at that position, go after the quarterback, get him. He is going to have an easy time to try to do that. So there's not much thought going into the playbook, into doing what he does best and rush the passer. So if he's the real deal, we're going to find out early on in those one-on-one battles that Aldo and Trey are going to be covering live down at Bourbonnais at practice, because I want to know who's rushing the passer. We're going to give you the best coverage of training camp if we have the eyes out there, because I'm going to direct them to what it is we want to see. And they're going to know what it is we want to see as fans, because we know the non-national narrative. We know where the needs are and where the talent, like a Nichols and a Roy Robinson Harris and a Bullard, that battle is going to be very important. Is the national TV going to give you a glimpse of that, or is Aldo Gandia going to put his camera on it and give you some footage? That's what we're going to do here. That's why you guys love it, and we love you. That's what we're going to do. We're going to set the menu. We're going to say, listen, I want an A, a number one, and a number seven with pork fried rice.
Now I'm getting hungry. We are going to bring it. I didn't have dinner. So let's talk about a couple of questions that came in with the news that the Bears released linebacker Howard Jones. Ryan Cox says, I don't get it. Thin at depth and experience, and they release a talented guy like Jones before training camp. What gives? And Kieran asks, all the way across the pond, is Phil crying because Howard Jones was cut?
It didn't make sense to me. I'm with Ryan Cox. Ryan Cox is a guy that steps up as a barfly. And Kieran's right. I wasn't crying. Like, I'm going to put my total faith, but I would be lying if I didn't raise an eyebrow to that, because it's not even to the extent of having the pads and going into the competition of this football team. To take away a kid like Howard Jones, in my mind, was, again, I'm not there. I don't know. Is Howard Jones not, you know, busting his hump and buying into the culture? Then that's completely understandable. Again, you can understand this isn't me trying to be an insider and have a gut feeling. I'm giving you pointed reasons here. Is Howard Jones not buying in? Is Howard Jones not busting his hump? Is Howard Jones out of shape? Is Howard Jones just not someone who communicates well with Jay Rogers or Vic Fangio? Those questions I don't have the answers to. But this is what Aldo and I were talking about with Adam Hoge. We talked about it with Mark Grody. We talked about it Jesus, why am I losing my buddy's name? Who was the last guy from The Athletic? Ben.
Kevin Fishbane.
Kevin, why I always think Ben? I don't know where I get Ben. He looks like a Ben to me.
Names and geography, not your strong suit.
I got names. I don't know. He just looks like a Ben to me. But Kevin Fishbane, maybe the B in there is throwing me off, but we asked him to be eyes. Ask the tough question. Now I want to know, what was it? I'll word it for you. Coach Nagy, because we're going to have veteran OTAs next week, or is it a mini camp? Whatever the title of it is, you're going to have an opportunity. OTAs. You're going to have an opportunity to talk to Pace, Nagy, Vic. So under the umbrella of any of those three, what was the reasoning behind the release of Howard Jones, especially with the depth that you don't have at the edge rusher? Was it something he did per se or did not do that caused his release, or do you like where you are with some of these younger players? Boom. Now you get an honest answer from an honest coach. Now we know. Probably not going to throw him under the bus because that's professional. Maybe they'll slip up and say, yeah, he really wasn't fitting into what we were doing. That'll be enough to tell us all. But hopefully they do that. But to me, again, I thought he was somebody coming off injury that had experience, that could give you reps. I thought the Bears were going to get involved with the kid that the Colts picked up, the restricted free agent from the Chargers. They didn't get involved in that. You know, maybe they like, or they're going to sign someone, as everyone's been hinting at, a Lamar Houston. Is Willie Young going to come back? Are they going to sign a veteran to come in here and just be in the competition with some of these young undrafteds that they have, as well as a Kylie Fitz and a Sam Acho? As you guys know, I think it's 100% Aaron Lynch over Sam Acho as your starter. I know Kevin was thinking Acho was going to start. I'd be shocked. But again, I'm never going to sell anybody short. But I just think the money and following that. But competition at that position is going to be exciting to see, because there's a lot of young football players in the mix now. I know they got the kid from Shepherd in there, too. That was an undrafted free agent. The kid from Old Dominion, Rominti. So how they showed up over this weekend, maybe the ceiling they felt was a little higher, too.
So the chat room has all kinds of conspiracy theories as to why our dear friend Jones is gone, possibly involving Bellamy. We're not going to go there. We are a family show. So I'm going to go to the next question. Coming a week in advance from Gonzo at the Bears Go Gonzo. He says, Robinson, Gabriel, White, Miller, Wims, Gentry, and Bellamy. Who do you think is going to be the most productive wide receiver this season?
So basically all of them. He's giving me. I think you got to go Robinson. I just think the guy's going to be a man on a mission. I'm opposite of the Mike Norris. I love you, Mike, but I'm totally not buying what you're selling here. I think the guy checked all the boxes in regards to where they saw his rehab going and what he brings to the football field. Is tremendous. You know, this isn't a rookie, but he's 23 years old. This is a guy that's been in the league. He's been to a Pro Bowl, that got hurt on a freak play catching the football. This guy can take it over the top, can run the route tree, and again, is a guy that wants the football. I know there was audio of this football player getting fired up, which I love, when Blake Bortles wasn't delivering the ball accurately. It wasn't about him not throwing to him. It was just throwing it 6 yards out of bounds. The Brian Hoyer fades, I used to call him. So I just think this football player is going to be the guy that's going to set the tone. I don't think Bears fans realize how good he is yet. Like, this isn't Mushin Muhammad as the bottle falls. This is somebody that's an athlete that can high point, that can run the route tree, that wants the football, that is going to be a perfect fit here. And he's 6'3", 219 pounds. So I'm excited about that football player, so that's the guy that I'm going to put my money on as leading this team in regards to reception and touchdowns.
And our barflies in the chat room still have not recovered from Mike North being on our show last week on 100 Proof and his answer to that question. We have a question from @Santucci_John. He said, 2 seasons ago, the Bears finished negative 20 in turnover differential. Last season, the Bears were even at a zero, an improvement of 20. That's a good trend. As the Bears settle into their fourth year in the Fangio defense, how do you expect that number to increase now?
Well, I think it's going to increase. And I think it's a great, great student of the game question. You see an ascending football team that's committed to the players that they've been successful with. Now you're adding more speed in regards to Roquan Smith, Joel Ayabunue, coming in there and being fast. You have bringing back Kyle Fuller. You have some of these undrafteds that are going to be in the competition. Like I talked about, John Franklin III. What is he going to do? Bryce Callahan coming back. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Fast kid. Talented athlete. The speed on the football field is gaining, is growing. You get a healthy Leonard Floyd back. You get that pass rush. Akeem's back. Maybe they finally get a deal done with Eddie Goldman and reward him and Adrian Amos. You all know how I feel about Amos, who also was on the show with us. This is the crossroads to greatness. I know Vic Fangio staying on with a young head coach. Somebody tweeted out a picture of Vic and Matt Nagy just smiling and laughing at one another at practice. Football is fun again for Vic because now he's got command of his defense. I used to always, because I coached offense a lot, and when I was the head coach, that was my focus. So I was involved with everything, but I made it a point to make it competitive against my defensive coordinator and separate sides to ultimately bring us all together and have fun. But at the same time, this is your defense, Coach Brockett. You are going to take that defense. I got my offense, and we're going to beat you, and you're going to have to stop us and ultimately come together as a team in competition and not separate or not, I run everything. This is me. That's it. So I think the turnover ratio, just by getting a healthy Floyd back and a Roquan Smith, I don't think people realize. Mike Singletary was 6 foot, not 6'1", 6 foot, 230 pounds. Is he a Hall of Famer? Everybody love. No one talked about this yet. So 6 foot, 230. Right now, I'd say Roquan is probably the same size as Mike Singletary, but 12 times the athlete. And that's no shot at Mike Singletary. He probably admitted himself. But you look at what Roquan can do instinctively and athletically, you got to be excited. And the speed on the football team improves just because of him. If he gets into the playbook and just plays his game and not try to do too much, you are going to be cooking with fire and ultimately going to create more turnovers. It's just confidence breeds success, it, just like competition. When you're playing confidently, you don't have to think, you react, you're going to get to the football. And I think in regards to Amos, Roquan, Danny Trevathan, Fuller, the pressure's off them in regards to contract, where they got to go. They're just going to play the game, and that's going to be great for the Bears.
Couple more questions. Chachi at Frankie Myers asked earlier, what do you think about the Bears pairing Smith and Iggy and Miller and Wims as roommates?
I think it's brilliant. It's how you create competition, but camaraderie. You know, when you put the players in the similar roles in competition together, you get to know them beyond. When you live with somebody, think about it. If you've not gone to college or you've not experienced being away from home, you're married. You know you got to get used to somebody else, and it is an experience to know them beyond the relationship that normally would be in a on a football team. Now you know them. How many times do they brush their teeth? How many times does he say he loves his girl on the phone, and you're breaking his chops on that? It just, this game of football is so great. It is the greatest game in the world for young men and women now playing it. It breeds so much camaraderie and brotherhood that I can't even begin to tell you. So when you're smart as a football coach, you put players that you know that are going to be competing for jobs together, you ultimately get the best out of both of those players because they get to know the person, and that eases the competition as well as helps one another. You break that boundary. Yeah, we're competing, but we're ultimately competing to help this team be successful.
We had Chris Armstrong at Chris Armstrong 1 ask a question saying, I know it's early, but which of the undrafted free agents do you expect to stick on the 53 or practice squad?
Well, the practice squad is going to be full of some of these undrafted free agents. I really believe that. But the guy, obviously, they started talking about him is Kevin Tolliver. Here's a kid that I really had a late third, early fourth round pick on this football player that I feel like he's somebody that's going to push maybe a Marcus Cooper off the roster, and he's going to stick. He is a talented athlete, cocky, arrogant football player. At that position, it is the right remedy. Now, he's one of the guys that Coach Nagy's talking about has a few strikes on him, but if you're truthful with him, this is his chance. He got undrafted. He's humbled. He came to Chicago, even though he had offers other places. So he's going to be the guy, I believe, out of the undrafted. Now, the other guy, I'll cheat, and I'll give you one other one. I think the kid Nall from Oregon State is going to become something. I'm just watching his tape, seeing the football player, the character that he is. I'm not going to I agree with Emery Hunt. If you hadn't heard that show, the prejudice of Caucasian persuasion position, you know, he can be the single back. But he also could be used in a variety of ways because he is a talented athlete, Chris. He's somebody that I compare. He does remind me of a Juszczyk. If you follow me, coming out of Harvard, I was very high on this football player, Lauren Cox, and I had a big debate on him, and Lauren liked him too, actually, but we talked about him a lot when he was coming out. Now he went to Baltimore, was tremendous there in the role, and now he's with the San Francisco 49ers, and you see how he's used. The way Nall could be used athletically to isolate himself on these linebackers, great hands, can run in between the tackles, can also play fullback. It's not a shot at him. He's just a tough kid. So offensively, Nall to me is somebody I really like. And obviously, Kevin Tolliver on the defense. You know, the other thing I wanted to take one last point on this kid Fleming. Gets pointed out by Coach Nagy, gets signed. I heard a podcast that is just poo-pooing it. Like they had to do it because the coach said this was the kid that stood out. To me, that's BS. It's lazy. It's disappointing. Here's a kid that's given his heart and soul to the tryout, to the opportunity to play this great game. Nobody here on this show knows enough about Fleming to tell me or anybody else what he can and cannot do. But the Chicago Bears don't under Matt Nagy aren't signing someone because he just brought him up. Trust me when I tell you that. It is about talent. It is about showcasing something that they felt. It's about obtaining the playbook. And apparently this kid and coaching staff and the personnel and the wide receiver coach enough to sign a contract with his hometown Chicago Bears. This isn't a feel-good story that Adam Johns is going to write about with the plane going down. This is about the Bears saying, here's somebody else we're going to put in the competition. They're not playing any games. This kid has the opportunity to start, to make a name for himself, to make a play. And let me just tell you the difference. There's no shot under John Fox for this young man to even play. Okay? None. There's the K that Shane talks about, but that's the truth. And it's different now. So let's not get in the old habits of poo-pooing any player that has gotten on that stage, BG, backs against the wall, the ultimately litmus test for a football player to impress a coaching staff for 3 days to obtain the playbook, put it out onto the football field, and make a football team and get the opportunity to do so. Now, I don't know Fleming to tell you what he's going to be or what not, but I guarantee you this, Aldo and Trey are going to follow Fleming. We're going to know who stood out and who's standing out. And I believe in Matt Nagy's going to best. So if that means he's better than Javon Wims, who you drafted in the seventh round, then Javon Wims will hit the waiver wire come final cuts, and Fleming will make the football team. Because politics will not play a role into your 53-man roster. So that is my answer to that.
So I got to let you know that it is Bears hour and 40 minutes so far.
We still
have listeners coming into the chat room, but we got to update our logo and branding according to Harp 4803, because he says it's not Bears Hour Live and it's false advertising. Bear with us. We only have a couple questions left, and we will let you all go to bed. Badge asks, is there anything missing from this roster that needs to be added other than a pass rusher?
I'm looking around the roster. I'm really happy with it. Aldo was worried about interior offensive linemen leading up to the draft. I feel like you came away with depth there and excitement there. They signed this kid, again, another tryout kid. USF kid, Jeremy, I can't remember his last name, Hall, out of USF. This football player, I mean, you watch his tape. This guy's a mean son of a gun, pretty good athlete, getting after it. You throw his name in the mix. You got Jordan Morgan coming back. You got Cush coming back. What is Haronis Kwasu? Has anybody even heard his name? What is he going to do? There's so much intrigue, but there's depth there where you didn't have any before. So if anything, if I was going to look at any position other than an outside linebacker, I think it would be offensive tackle. And to see where that position is, you know, is Kyle Long, a barfly DM'd me, is Kyle Long now set to move to right tackle? That could be Harry's move. You know, if you hire these coaches and they're the best in the game, I've been around great coaches. They've laughed at the Bears for having Kyle in at guard, applauded them for moving in the right tackle, and talked about what a fraud they are for moving him back to guard and confusing this football player. You all know the story. But again, what does Harry do? That'll be interesting to see. But if I had to put any emphasis on any position, it would be offensive tackle.
Last question of the night is a fun one, and it goes to our new friend, Barelissimo1. He says, which is bigger compared to the average human? Nichols' arms, Cohen's personality, Miller's hands, Wim's catch radius, Akeem Hicks's beard or Mitchell Trubisky's potential?
So which is bigger than
compared
what?
To the average human?
Compared to the average human? I would say Nichols' arms out of those choices. I mean, this is up for Akeem's beard. But I love the question, Barrelissimo, over across the pond as well. Hmm? Yeah, Barrelissimo is over across the pond too. So I love these questions, creative, insightful, BG. But I gotta go with, have you seen Nichols build and length? I mean, the kid is, and he's only a young buck. So he has time to grow into this body and become something special. So, and Daniels, I mean, all of it is exciting. Potential of Mitchell Trubisky. How am I gonna choose out of those? The only one I'll knock out of there is Akeem's beard.
Well, some barflies in the chat room voted on Akeem Hicks's beard winning that.
What?
So,
oh boy.
We are back on Wednesday with a brand new 100 proof. And while you're waiting, head over to bearsbarroom.com where you will find some new articles by two of our talented writers, John Santucci and Brett Melee. And later this week, Aldo will have other news on Bears on Tap. Final thoughts, Phil.
Well, I want to send a shout out to Dan Aguirre at BearsFan_Dan. Mm-hmm. So today, BG and Barflies, I know there was some Twitter reaction. Dan has a library of Bears football. Now, when I was in college, I wasn't able to see a lot of Bears games, so I missed some of them. So, Dan, I came home today from work, and I get this package in the mail, and it's DVDs of all these games from the 90s, 82, 90, 91, 92, 93 games of the Bears. I love Jim Harbaugh. I want to see him play. I just want to send a shout out, Dan. I appreciate you taking the time out. Those that were doubting Dan's library, let me tell you, it's real. I'll put some videos on Twitter up of Jim Harbaugh and company from back in the day. In the coming weeks, I'll put it up there. I'll take a few clips. So I wanted to shout him out. And I'm excited, BG. Bears Hour Live and a half or 40 minutes.
45
you know,
now.
No commercials. My throat is hoarse, but I am bringing it. The truth. I love the Barflies. I love the support. I love Aldo Gandia. Check out Aldo's Bears on Tap. I want to thank him for his kind words about me. I heard it. My mother and father heard it and made a mention of it, and my wife made a mention of it. It meant something to us. And I heard you, Barflies, standing up for your boy, Draft Dr. Phil. I just used that moniker because everyone was calling me that. You know, we always add the Philototion. I put it in my song. There's nowhere for me to hide. I'm right here. Never going away. So, great show, BG, always bringing it. Those Barflies that love the extra time, you got the bonus edition tonight, so
you
I'm
did.
Excited.
And here's what they had to say all night long. Brandon Janoski said, Bellamy will not make this roster. Put my name on that, BG. Trey Busy was lighting up the chat room, and he said, remember last year on this time when Fox said he was going to trot Glennon out as our quarterback, taking us down to memory lane? And he also said that blitzing Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan will be fun. A.A. Ron from Chai says, Phil is like a cross between Frank Costanza and Howard Cosell tonight. Bears fan Dan says, moving Kyle to right tackle seemed to start his downfall. Mr. Riordan said we need to trade Grisou. That's his problem. He's always laying on the grass. Regarding the pass rush, Gaines report said, can't wait to see those A-gap blitzes. Pass rush just isn't a D-gap. And our last Barclay quote is going to go to our dear friend Aldo, who said, Mitch Trubisky, 3,900 yards, 27 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions.
Yes, Aldo's making his maker's mark. I love the Barflies.
Can you hear him laughing?
Yes, and it makes my night. It really does. Like, I miss 100 proof when I hear him laugh. But what a show. Was it chock full? I know Diddy, prior to the show, was like, well, it's just rookie minicamp. What could you get excited about? I don't know if anyone's listening. Are you excited about this, Barflies? Did I bring it tonight? Did I define who Nagy is? Was there anything phony in my sermon here?
No, there are 30 still devout listeners hanging on to your every word. But this is going to wrap up this edition of Bears Hour Live. Good night, and we will see you all next week. Bye.
And we'll see you on the podcast stream.